This is Message, M, 103, Faith. A word given by Cecil J. Duseel, 27th of March, 1972.
Then it would suggest that it is a specific substance. Now let us turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and read from the first verse. Praise God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Praise God. We, as natural spiritual people, think of things. If we want to make a house, we would get the blocks, we would get the cement, we would get the materials for roofing and for walls and for interior work, wood and everything, and then we would get the workmen. Praise God. And when we have all this and we have the money to pay the workmen, then we would say that we have the substance of a house brought together. Now God is teaching us a new principle, that the things which we do see, the iron, tin or the steel which makes the chairs, the leather, the wood, and everything that is a part of our world, were made from things which we cannot see, existing in what we would say nowhere. These things are all around us, and these things made the things which we can see. So it means that the thing which is the base, or that which made that which we can see, is the greater thing. And God is saying to us that this is the substance of everything that you can think of or that you can hope for. Now let's go back over that. If you begin to hope for something, the thing exists. This is what Hebrews 11 is saying. If you can think of it, if you can hope for it, if you can believe it, then it not only exists, but your very thought is going to bring the thing into being. Now, we are not talking about occultism. We are talking about God and Godism. God gave us principles upon which we should live. And this is one of the foundation principles. And tonight I'm going to give you the why of it. Why is it that you can produce, reproduce, create, and recreate by that which you desire within your mind, within your soul, and within your heart? I will tell you why tonight, since God explained it to me, and it is just simple ABC. It is the same principle upon which you send to the lumber yard and you purchase lumber, you send to the block factory or to the place they make the bricks and you buy bricks and you bring them all together, it is the very same principle that you must use and apply in the spiritual. Now, how do you know when you have the substance? In the natural, you know when you have the substance because the substance manifests itself. Is that right? The substance, you can either see it, you can either feel it, or you can, it's tangible in the physical. Blessed be to God Almighty, you must know when a thing is tangible in the spiritual. If you want this cheer and you cannot feel the cheer inside here, don't pray for it. For you are committing a crime against the very laws of God if you pray for a thing that you don't believe yourself. Whenever you feel within yourself that this is it, that I have got it, that I can just pray for it and get it, then already, said God, the thing is created for you. Amen. Do not pray until you can bring yourself by communion with God to believe the thing that you want. And then when you pray for it, it will be there. I'm going to give you a little story of how God creates through you and through me. One morning, we went into the little office that we keep church in. A little office, a little thing like this. And the few days before that, somebody heard me speaking in tongues. It was the first that happened to me. I didn't know what it was until God explained it to me. But the people around seem to have known that when a person speaks in tongues, he receives power. Or so they thought. And there was this boy who was born in that district. He was 16 years of age. And he had no tongue in his mouth. He was deformed in his mouth. And he was born dumb. And because they heard me speaking in tongues, the Wednesday night I went to pray for somebody and the thing broke out on me. You know, some people said you've got to speak in tongues, but I didn't speak in tongues. Tongues spoke out through me, and I thought it was somebody else, and I stopped to turn around to really ridicule the person for disturbing my prayer. And then I found out everybody had wide open mouth looking at me. Then I found out that the thing was coming out of my mouth even when I turned around to talk to them about somebody disturbing me from behind me. So praise God Almighty, I didn't talk in tongues, but tongues talked through me. That's what happened to me. And so I couldn't help, because I intended to hide it. We had a doctrine in the Missionary Alliance Church that, tongues is not for the church. It was only for the ministry, and it mustn't be talked out in public. And so I wouldn't have talked it in public if you paid me. And so I went to this little office to have church. And we were there singing and praying, and here steps in Mrs. Berry, and she came hauling this boy behind her, and she shouted with a loud voice from the door, you know. She said, Elder, you receive power, so pray for the boy now. And she pushed him forward. And I tell you, of the few times when I was embarrassed, that must have been the greatest. I didn't know what to do. I would like to get through the floor or something else. This woman had embarrassed me, jammed me right before everybody. You have power, she said. Pray for him now. My God, I was thinking of some way to back out of the situation. But God said to me, pray for him. You are not going to do anything. Whatever will be done, it is I. So you pray for him. And I just, if it was for my prayer to really get him saved, delivered, I'm telling you, brethren, he wouldn't have been delivered that day. God, I put my hand on him and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, or something like that. Just a few words. And I took my hand off him. I said, well, Lord, I pray, you know. And God said, tell him to speak. So I said to him, speak, boy. And the Lord said, tell him what to say. And I said, say Jesus. And the boy must have had a lot of spite in him, because he was standing like this. He deliberately turned around, looked me in the eye, and said, Jesus. And man, I tell you, you could have knocked me down with a feather. I didn't know what to do. The boy had talked. And I knew I didn't do it. I just stood there. And people began to scream. And some rushed out to carry the news abroad. And boy, I tell you, the mother finally came and got a little quieter. Give me a chance, give me a chance, give me a chance. Because he was chatting now. Everybody saying, say this, say that, say the other. And he was just repeating. And she said to me, she said, Elder, this boy, we are just coming from the doctor. The doctor says this boy will never talk because he has no tongue. She said the doctor would have operated if it was a little child and tried to do something, see if something would function after a while. But he said this boy hasn't got the organs to talk with. And he's talking, let me see his mouth. And she opened his mouth. And to my shameful, I've got to confess to you, when she opened the mouth, I expected to see his mouth full with blood. I felt that God must have torn away something or operated on something, and then his mouth would be full with blood. He had a perfect tongue in his mouth, and it was not there when he came into that room. And man, I tell you, I was frightened out of my wits. And I believe God from that day until this. That thing made me a Christian. I saw before me the creative power of God through faith. And for years I wondered why it happened. What did it? Did God send a bolt of lightning? What did it? Until God made me to understand how it works. Praise be to God. God said faith is the substance. In other words, God has a master substance that is floating around this room tonight. A master substance that makes all other substances, and this substance is called faith. And it works, but how do you get it to work? Praise be to God. I want us to turn our Bibles from here to Matthew. Now what chapter is that? The case of the ruler, this man baffled Jesus because he made one step ahead of what he was expected to do. And he said, Lord, I am a man that have soldiers under me. Eight? Yeah. I am a man that have soldiers, thank you, under me. And he said, when I say to one man, go, he goes. Verse 5. And when I say to another man, come, he comes. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For, now, if he didn't give this reason, then his faith would be on the ordinary level. But he had such an understanding of the machinations or the workings of faith that he made an explanation to Jesus that Jesus wondered over him. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The Bible said, A man who wavers in his mind is like the waves of the sea, and he shall receive nothing of the Lord. Did you ever think why? Because to receive something of the Lord, you have got to have a set purpose. You have got to know what you want, and you've got to want it. Amen. And then God will do it. You see, the first building block upon which God builds a miracle or anything for you is a sturdy, steadfast faith in the thing that you want. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to get that before we go further. This man knew what he wanted. He knew, the second thing he knew who could give it. Let me talk it slower. He knew who could give it to him. And he went to this Jesus, and he said to Jesus, I need my servant to be healed. Jesus said, okay, I will heal him. The guy said, okay, since you will heal him, you don't have to come. He said, send some of your emissaries. Send some of your servants who work with you. Because I am a centurion, and I work in the carnal. I have physical men out there that if I say a word, they go and they do it. I give a command, they do the command. I said, I know you. You have angels with you. You have the heavenly host with you. You can command what you will, and they will do it. He said, just speak the word. No. Hallelujah. All I want from you is the command, and I know it is done. You don't have to worry yourself to come. He said, my house is not good enough for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be to God Almighty. Jesus Christ marveled at the man's faith. Jesus looked down in him and saw a man of principle. Now, one of the problems with Christians is that we are not consistent. In this matter, we will hold on, and in the other matter, we will let go. When you are consistent, you will receive what you want from God. This is the reason God said the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent ones take the kingdom of heaven by force. God wants you to practice spiritual violence. Before I go any further, let's turn to Matthew again, chapter 7. And we read from verse 7. And here is not a question Here is not a if or a maybe, but here is a spiritual law, a principle of faith that must work. This is the reason some of you are baffled by seeing some evangelist getting miracles done when his life is not up to standard. The truth is that he believes and he gets it done because he walks according to the spiritual laws. I'm going to say a very peculiar thing here now. Do you know that the reason the devil can do things is because he walks by God's spiritual laws? You see, for every law of God, there is a reverse. And he uses reverse psychology on you all the while. And the devil walks backwards on the spiritual laws, the same laws which pertain to faith, pertain to fear. If you fear a devil, he hurts you. Amen. You need not fear any devil, because we are above every devil on earth. Our inheritance puts us not only above devils, but above principalities and powers in heavenly places. And any time you fear a devil, you break God's first spiritual principle. You remember the story I told you last night, how I told the devil, I said, follow me home. And he was stupid enough to follow me home. And I put my hand to catch him, and he was stupid enough to jump into my hand. All I was doing is having a scientific experiment. For I hear about demons, and I've never seen one. I hear about demons, and I've never felt one. And I wanted that night to feel what it was. And I know as I stand here tonight, he has an atomic body like yours. That thing was vibrating and pulsating in my hands. Amen. And I felt the thing, and it was like a whole ball of feathers. My hand went down in, filled with an electrical energy. It had energy, and it was shocking me in my hand. And that's what I wanted to know. It had weight, because when he stood up on my floor beside the bed where it has a thin board, it creaked. Amen. It had intelligence, though it was stupid. It couldn't read my mind, for I was thinking to catch him and he didn't know. So I want you to understand what we're talking about tonight. No sorcery, no witching, nobody working devilry can work against you, the Christian. Because when this guy sent that thing at me, and God made me see through that wall clean like a plate glass, I saw that demon come in there. He was on a different frequency, and God lifted me to see him. You know why I know God lifted me? Because I, in my natural, have no power to see through the wall. And I was looking clean through a brick wall. Therefore, God had lifted me. Blessed be the God Almighty. Revelation 12 tells me that God is going to lift you. He's going to give you the wings of a great eagle. When tribulation comes in the earth, God is going to give you the wings of a great eagle, and that eagle is going to lift you. Symbolic language, brethren. The mind of Christ is the wing of the great eagle that's going to lift you. Tonight, as you sit here, if your mind get into a higher frequency, you see things that I can't see in my natural here. It's as simple as all that. God made man, and man has a ladder from heaven right down to hell. Man, you man, sit there. You are not just flesh and blood and bone and puny people crying and sighing and dying. You're not that at all. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
You're a magnificent creature. Chained.
Hallelujah.
Chained in a body. Hallelujah. Chained in a body. God is teaching you how to get out.
Hallelujah.
Of the body. bind you and come out of the realm of the flesh and carnality. Hallelujah. We believe in these things. We believe in the physical. We believe the physical is sturdy. We believe the physical is powerful. The physical can melt away the moment you rise in your mind, in your soulish realm. Rise above physical thought and behavior. Let the Spirit of God get into your mind and give you the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, brethren. Call me anything you want. Because when I tell people truth, sometimes they call me this, that, and the other. But who am I? I don't want to be anything here. I just want to hit the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And then I don't care what I am. I was fasting 21 days, hungry for God, hungry, dying of hunger. I couldn't get any food. No church could help me. The churches were just trash. Forgive me. The church system is just trash. Bumpus men get up every day and preach a lordly sermon and take their seats, and they have said nothing, and they have not raised the dead, they have not delivered the suffering, and they send you off to the hospital, and they don't have any good. I just couldn't stand that. I just couldn't stand it. And so I was fasting and praying because I'm tired of self, tired of sin, tired of the world around, the carnality, the physical nature, the brute nature. A man gets up in the morning, he goes to work, he eats and he drinks because he wants strength to work. He works because he wants to eat and drink. And he comes in that endless cycle, and you live like an animal, and you die, and you can't use more than what you can use, and you work like a beast. And I couldn't just take it. I said, if this is all life gives, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want something higher. Blessed be the God Almighty. I was fasting. I said, I'd rather die than not to see a greater realm. I cannot believe that a God so magnificent as to make this glorious universe could yet be so ignorant to make a brute so sensible. You understand what I'm talking about? And so I realized that I was no brute. Amen. And I realized that my God was far more sensible than I could ever think. And so I began to fast 21 days. And after the 21 days, I was so hungry, I began to fast 3 more days now without water or anything because I wanted more of God. And as I knelt down praying on the third day at my bedside, I prayed and prayed, and there was some motion in my head. I don't know what I was doing, but boom, my head hit something. I said, my God, I'm kneeling on the floor. I'm praying. How come my head hit? Boom, boom. I said, let me open my eyes. When I opened my eyes, I was at an angle. And I was up in the ceiling. My whole body had floated off the floor, and I had no power over my limbs, and I was floating around in the room and couldn't help myself. I was so frightened that I came down to earth. This demonstrates the principle of the spirit and the principle of the reverse, fear. Fear took me, and there was no place up there. In other words, it is possible for a man to rise in his spiritual realm to a point where he loses touch with the carnal, the physical, the natural, the devilry that binds you down here. Brethren, it's not only the devil that levitates and lifts up chairs and tables and play tricks. We're not playing tricks. We want God in our beings. Amen. And men and women must stop fooling around and get violent with God. Storm the heavens and tell God you want what he's got there. Hallelujah. Amen. Read your Bible and you'll see that I'm talking no fable. Because everything that we experience is in your Bible. Amen. Everything that we experience is in your Bible. Philip was talking to the eunuch, and he had finished his sermon, And the eunuch saw Philip melt away right before his eyes. And Philip was divinely transported to another city where he continued his message. Blessed be to God Almighty. Brother Joseph, a friend of mine, was in prison. The Roman Catholic priest was in prison in Ireland, and he was condemned to die. And he prayed, and he found himself standing outside of the prison. And he prayed again, and he found himself standing in a busy street with people walking all around him. And a man ran right to him and said, "Here's my card, brother." He said, "When you come to Jamaica, that's my address." And the man ran off. And because his pursuers were after him, he fled to the airport. Friends gave him the money to buy his ticket, and he bought a ticket and landed in Jamaica with one suit of clothes on his back, escaping from those who had imprisoned him. Blessed be to God Almighty. Hallelujah! God is still on the job. Amen. I don't want to tell you any more story. Let's go back to the centurion. The centurion said, "But Father, you have many soldiers." He said, "Just send one of those little boys down there." And Jesus said, "Boy, I've never seen this before." He said, "It's okay. You got what you wanted." The guy had what he wanted in his mind. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God! So we see that we are not dealing with the occult. We are dealing with the spiritual God. And the same God of Jacob and God of Isaac. God of Abraham. Hallelujah. This same God is our God tonight. Let me tell you something. God is light. Light is energy. Don't forget that. God is light. Light is energy. When I'm talking and I shout out, I mean, I didn't mean to do it or to frighten anybody. I just mean God's energy entered into me and took charge of my voice. It's all happened. Amen. And if there was any devil here, you would just see a flash of light. That's what happens, actually, in the spirit, when God quickens you. So praise be to God. We are looking beyond now the realms of the carnal and the physical. We're looking beyond the realms of mankind and woman and children and house and land. We get away from that now. We turn our backs on these wretched little perishable things which will pass away. Never you swap eternal principles for a carnal physical principle. Never swap it. I went down to Jamaica and a man decided that he was going to make some money off of me. And so he said, he got a warrant for my arrest for some money that he said I owed him. And he thought I had lost the receipt. So he got the warrant for my arrest. And because I didn't have the receipt on me, I had to pay the money. But when I paid the money, I found the receipt where I had paid him already. Amen. And I could put him in court. Amen. And you know what I found out? That the devil had set a cute little trap for me to hold me down and to get me mixed up and hold me down there instead of my going on to keep an appointment to preach in the United States. So what did I do? I didn't put him in court. I just laughed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I swapped that which was spiritual for a little piece of flesh. I was none the worse. And these are the things which, if you're not awake and wise in the spirit, you'll be caught every turn. You get yourself so mixed up with the carnal, the physical, the wretched, the things that drain spiritual energy out of you. You get so mixed up with it that you have no use for God when you are true. You stand up for your right. But when you have finished, you have drained out the energy which God wanted to give you. Praise God. Now we come back to the brother centurion. He saw one principle, that Jesus Christ had ministering angels with him. You have ministering angels with you. Let me quote some scriptures for you. I know you love scriptures. Amen. So the angel of the Lord encampeth round about who? Them that fear him. Hallelujah. He does what, sister? He delivers them. Hallelujah. Beloved, another scripture said, he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I mean, those are pretty words. But I said, he is even preventing you from butting your toe. Yes. God give his angels charge over you so that your car is not going to crash. Your toe won't be hurt on a stone. Your children won't be hurt. Nothing will go wrong. He said, he only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast trusted in God, he shall deliver thee. Now, what else he shall deliver thee from? 27th chapter of Psalm. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl. I'm quoting now the 91st chapter. And from the noisome pestilence. And he shall hide thee under his feathers. Let me give you a little amusement here. Demon spirits are as much afraid of you as you are afraid of them. If you speak a word, you can cast them into what they call the sea or the pit, and they cannot come back until Jesus Christ called them to judge the quick and the dead. They are afraid of you, and soon and very soon every demon spirit is going to leave the body of Christ because he can't take the battery that we're giving him. Let me tell you a little thing more. When you are afraid of spirits, it is a natural tendency. It's not a spiritual tendency. You are afraid of what you can't see. You are afraid of the thing that you can't understand. Therefore, ignorance makes you afraid. When God taught me of what spirits were, I was able to even tempt a spirit to come follow me, and because I wanted to examine him and to find out what kind of thing he was made out of. When any demon spirit is manifesting, it is at its weakest. Why am I teaching you demonology? I don't know. Some of you might be afraid of it. The reason a demon spirit is at its weakest when it is manifesting is because, or is that, it has to reduce its own frequency. The power that it has, it has an atomic body. It's working too fast for your natural eyes to see it, and it has to reduce itself to your frequency before he can affect you. Therefore, he is in a weak state when he is manifesting. That's the time you must rebuke him. When a man is in a blind temper, if you rebuke him in the name of the Lord, he loses the temper and he becomes ashamed immediately. Let's go back to the centurion.
May I ask you something here?
Praise God.
Maybe I just don't understand, but a couple of things have come to my mind. And now you were saying about like tempting the demon spirit. Well, now, if this wasn't specifically under the direction of the Lord, isn't this dangerous? I mean, aren't you maybe inviting trouble?
Well,
I was thinking about the scripture where Jesus said not to tempt God, you know.
Oh, but that wasn't God. I understand. I understand what I only wanted to have a thing about fun at your expense. Yes, I don't think we should be presumptuous, you know.
Yeah.
But genuinely, honestly, I had to know these things. And no, it wasn't in self. I was quite in the spirit when I did it. And the whole truth is, though, I had no fear, therefore he had nothing in me that he could work on. I believed in God absolutely, therefore I had complete protection. And without fear and faith in God, it is just impossible for that thing or anything to hurt you. Praise God. If you get in a tailspin with your car and you have no fear and you just know that you're coming out of it, no matter what happens, you're coming out. I've seen it done. Amen. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's where it comes from. That's the nature of the devil. Fear is the nature of the devil. It is contrary to our nature. Fear of anything, fear of anybody, is contrary to our nature. And it is the nature of the devil that attacks people and make them fear. Doubt is the same. It's not of God. Doubt is of the devil. So it's the devil sending forth his spirit on you to get a hold of you that he might be able to hurt you. You see, you remember what Job said? Job said, that which I fear came upon me. The reason it came upon him is because he feared it. Yes, there was a wide open road, a highway right into Job, because he had opened. Now, praise God. So we find the principle works by God's agents. Now, what are God's agents, God's workmen? Let's look at the principle here. Jesus Christ went, he saw these people hungry. He wanted to feed them. A little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus took the 5 loaves. And 2 fishes. And the Bible said he prayed over it. What did he pray over it? Amen. Apart from blessing it, I am sure Jesus told the bread and the fishes to multiply. Amen. And so all atoms of bread and fish, baked bread at that, and fried fish at that, came down into his hand, and as he broke the bread, it multiplied. It wasn't magic. It was actual substance of faith reproducing bread and fish right there. Amen. The kids down in Indonesia say they go before a table and they pray, and food come on the table and they eat. And these things are not, it's not magic. We have got to understand that every atom on earth is an agent of God, and it will obey God. Therefore, if we speak to the very earth outside here, the very earth will respond to us if we have the faith in God, for the spirits of God will go forth and do what we need to be done. Praise be to God. Now, I've laid down the spiritual principle. Let me tell you of cases in the Bible. Joshua went across Jordan, and there was a mighty city standing before him with walls, very high walls in the air, and the Jews had no equipment, no engines of war, no nothing to go over the walls, to batter in rams, to break down those walls, nothing, just nothing. And God did not tell them to build slings and stones or whatever it is. God said the very opposite thing that any general would want to do. It's the worst thing you could do for an army. Tell them to march round those walls once every day. And tell them to march once every day, and on the last day they march seven times. And at the end of the seventh time, you blow a trumpet. Now, I am sure that Joshua was ignorant of what else God was doing, but Joshua was as sure as you are sitting here tonight that God was going to knock down those walls.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that is faith. Now, why did he have to march around this wall 7 days? Because the Spirit of God, who was the second army that God had commissioned. Remember, Joshua was walking in the field and he saw a man standing and he thought it was one of the enemy. He pulled his sword and said, "Who are you, friend or foe?" And the man said, "I am the captain of the host of God. Take off your shoes. You are on holy ground." Amen. And so, where was this captain? When they were fighting in Ai, in Jericho, where was the captain? This captain who had said he was the captain, where was he? He gave Joshua his orders. Tonight, brethren, you have got to realize this, that in the candlestick realm is the first realm of perfection in the church, where man and God work together as one unit. And every false step you make, you throw a spirit out of step. If God tell you to go out the street there and stand on the corner, God is going to send the appropriate number of spirits out there, angels out there, to execute the job that he wants at that corner. You are not alone. So, when you said, "Oh, that corner is no good, the other corner is better," and you go to the other corner, you leave your protection out there waiting on you. So when men and women go, move up and down outside of the will of God, you throw the army of God out of balance so you can get nothing done, because God's angels that must go with you are somewhere else waiting on you. Now, what would have happened had Joshua not obeyed the Lord specifically as God had ordered him? God said to Joshua, "March." Why did they have to march 7 days? After the battle was over, we heard why. The woman Rahab said, "You could have taken this city long ago." He said that men were afraid. What happened? God ordered spirits into Jericho. And spirits made the men afraid. We never read of one missile being fired. Not one arrow, not one spear, not one sling, not one stone was fired at the Israelites, because spirits had gone into the city and made them afraid. And the spirits were working on them for 7 days. When they had completely worked them over, they were ready for the taking. God Almighty told those spirits, he said, "When Joshua obeys me, when Joshua walk around the wall 7 times, when he blows a trumpet, when you hear such a trumpet blow, root up those walls." Hallelujah. And the spirit stood waiting. Waiting patiently. 7 days they stood there waiting. Those who were working on them inside worked. And the others. You see, God said in Songs of Solomon, he said the Shunammite is like a company of two armies. Hallelujah. He said she's beautiful. And then afterwards he said she's like a company of two armies. Some wretched fellows think that it was a love story. And I remember the days when these boys used to write the Songs of Solomon as love letters to some girls. But how would you like a boy to come to you and said, you are so beautiful, your neck is like a tower. Amen. Your teeth are like goats. And it went worse, you see. It said like a tower with shields hanging up on it. That means you were scaly, scaly all over. That's what it said. It couldn't be natural. It couldn't be natural. Praise God Almighty. You go back and look at it. Nobody would want to make love to anybody like that. It would turn her off. But it is a spiritual significance. Therefore, it makes sense. So he said, a Shulamite is like a company of two armies. My goodness. And this is the two armies that God is talking about. You are two armies. For every person here, you have the angels of God with you, protecting you, delivering you. What did Paul say about that? He said, are they not ministering spirits to who? The heirs of salvation. They are ministering spirits to you. So your baby is not alone. Amen. Your baby is not alone. Nothing can happen to that child if you just believe God. Amen. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, hallelujah, God will revive me. He's not going to let me fall or fail. So this is faith. Hallelujah. You have a father. A father that is tender, loving care. When you need a spanking, he gives you a spanking. Amen. When he knows that you can't make it without a few jerks and blows, he gives you them. Isn't he a good father? Praise be to God. And so the spirits tore up the wall. Joshua didn't do a thing. And he went right across into victory. Now here's a peculiar case. Brother Moses had a terrible rod that the whole Egypt was afraid of Moses' rod. They had a superstition on the rod. Men would go looking at the rod. They would send men try to steal the rod. They felt that the rod was all. They felt that if they took away the rod from Moses, they would get him. But there was something peculiar about the rod. For God had told Moses that whenever he raised that rod, whatever Moses desired would come to pass. Have you got a rod? Amen. Your faith is the rod of Moses. And God Almighty said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could take up that mountain out there and move it into the sea. If you have faith as much as a mustard seed. One night a wild, mad woman was chained and brought into my meeting. I was preaching to a group of people in a hall like this. And the street was out there. And they brought this woman tied from her feet right up to her hand. Dropped her like a sack in the midst before me. They said not a word to me. But the men begin to back out. And so I said to one of the men, loose her. The man looked at me and made a step further to the door. He saw me bend to loose her and he went to the car and started it. And I just loosed that woman from her feet, right up. I looked her in the eyes, put my hands on her, said, Jesus, heal her. Hallelujah. Nothing more. It wasn't even a shout. It wasn't even a holler. The energy just took her and she just said, Thank you, Brother Dussel. She turned back, picked up her rope, and off she went. Praise be to God Almighty. Now, a deliverance like that sweep me right down to my boots. Praise God. God Almighty, if you believe Him, nothing can go wrong. It's impossible for anything to go wrong, because faith is not a dead belief. It is a living substance that is walking up and down, waiting for you to activate it. And to get it working. And so blessed be to God Almighty, Moses took up the rod one day. There was a battle with the, I may soon remember the name of those fellows. But they were a terrible set. They gave in. Their chief problem was sorcery. Yes, they worked with spirits. I know some of you may not believe in spirits, but I won't tell you anything. If you believe, you might be afraid. And I hope you don't believe if you're going to be afraid. But if you're not going to be afraid, then believe. For God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And the only way our carnal minds can be lifted from its carnality and the physical world is to get the mind in the spirit. Amen. So praise God. We saw Moses and these fellows began to fight with Israel. And he raised his rod. And Israel began to beat them, but it was a hard battle. No, it wasn't the Amalekites. It was the, I'll soon remember it. And they were pushed back by Israel. But Moses got tired. He said, let me rest my hand a little. And the enemy pushed back Israel. Why? Why? Because the spirits of God that work with people of God were told that they must only work when Moses raised the rod. Blessed be the God Almighty. They must only work when Moses raised the rod. Moses went across the Red Sea. He lifted the rod and the sea divided. Do you know what really happened? The Bible said a wind started blowing, driving back the waters and rolling it up. And the wind fanned the floor of the sea all night like an asphalting company worked on the sea and made it level and beautiful like a beautiful highway. That's what the Bible said. Now, why did the wind do that? I could see some of the angels of God stood up blowing. It wasn't a natural wind. Amen. It was a wind commanded of God. Amen. But Moses lifted up the rod when all the children of Israel had crossed. And Pharaoh was hustling in. Moses saw that they were going to catch them. You see, it was little children and women, and they were, you know, it was very slow going. And Pharaoh was on chariots and horses. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said the angel of the Lord swooped down like a dive bomber upon Pharaoh, knock off his chariot wheel. And they begin to knock the chariot wheels off. And the mechanics got down and started. And by the time they were to be through with all that, the children of Israel had crossed. And Moses stretched the rod out. That's what he had in his mind. Amen. If he had in his mind that he wanted it open a little wider, that's what would have happened. But he said, quick, God, close down. And the gates were closed. And the people of Israel got away. And so Moses had to get Aaron and Hur to raise up his hand. Two men had to hold up his hand with the rod so that they could win the battle before the sun went down. Praise God. Body ministry. That's it. Amen. So we can see that faith is a living substance. And you want to ask yourself the question, when do I have faith and when don't I have faith? You can feel the activation of faith within you. You check it over. Somebody asks you to pray for this thing, and you don't feel the faith. You don't feel that energy to pray. It's going to be done. Don't pray. Don't pray, man. Go pray for prayer. Pray to God that you might feel to pray. For God said, ask and it shall be given. Oh, I didn't read that. It was the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Verse 8 said, for whosoever asks shall receive. He that asketh shall receive, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. It's a law. No man ever asks and don't receive. But what kind of thing is that? What kind of thing am I, Brother Dussel, is saying? No man ever asks and don't receive. I say, no man ever asks and don't receive. The moment you ask, God gives the order, and the angels move out of heaven with whatever it is for you. But those angels are programmed. They are programmed to come in on a beam of faith. Do you hear me? Now, the man away down yonder who didn't understand the modern language that we have, didn't understand computer, didn't understand anything about radar, wouldn't understand what we... This is the reason God can deal with these people so easily. Because the things which are in the spiritual world are now being manifested in the natural world, and men see the thing and they can understand it. They have a word for it. In the days when the Bible was written, they only had 1,500 words. You see. So here we are having much greater understanding. Now, the Amalekites. Oh, that's right. The Amalekites. Yes. The beam on which an angel of God can come into you and give you what you want is a beam of faith. He cannot work on fear. If an angel of God brings deliverance to you and you have fear, he can't give you. Because you have nowhere to receive it. Don't you see what I'm talking about? God, let me give you a story for that one. Daniel prayed, and he prayed for 21 days. And Daniel was a hard man. He wouldn't give up. He kept praying. And the angel came on the 21st day and tell him a wild story. He said, Brother Daniel, from the first day you prayed, I got orders from the Almighty to bring you deliverance. He said, I rushed out with the message of deliverance for you, and here I met the Prince of Persia, a demon spirit who is in charge of Persia. I don't know what kind of prince you have around here, but every area Satan divide up his kingdom and give different demons certain sections. Amen. You will notice that if you fly out of one area and go into another area, the people are just as wicked, but they have a different kind of wickedness from the other one over there. Amen. So the Prince of Persia stopped him. And there was a battle between him and the Prince of Persia for 21 days. And the great archangel Gabriel could not get through Persia. Isn't that funny sounding? When God sent one angel to kick the devil and all his hosts out of heaven. And then this one angel hold up a message from God. But this is the fact. So he said he appealed to heaven, and God sent Michael, the archangel. And when Michael came, he just cut right through and brought down the message. Why? Amen. The prince of Persia was contending with Gabriel upon the point that the people of Israel, who God said is his chosen people, were in Babylon worshiping the prince of Persia and worshiping the devil. They were all participating in demon worship and devil worship. Proof, you want Bible proof, brethren? When they put up the image in the plain of Dura, and they said to the people, when you hear the sackbut, the dulcimer, the harp, and all the stringed instruments, bow down and worship this image. Three boys stood straight. What happened to the whole of Israel that was there? They bowed. Amen. Amen. So the prince of Persia was contending that the children of Israel were not God's people, but they were his people. And that God had no right to send a message to them. And he was quoting chapter and verse and God's own laws. And Gabriel couldn't circumvent him. You know, the only thing that can circumvent a sinner, can set a sinner free? Amen. You know, the only thing, the only argument that we have before the devil, because God said the wages of sin is death. And how come you give life and it is death? The blood of Jesus Christ. That was what the archangel Michael said. Michael brought the blood of Jesus Christ and proved to the prince of Persia that the blood was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. And that you have no power against the blood. I command you in the name of Jesus, step back. And you see, brethren, the darkness wasn't anywhere else but over Daniel. In other words, Gabriel had traveled all the way from heaven to Daniel and couldn't give him the message because the prince of Persia was covering Daniel. And he was claiming his rights. But the great part about the message that Daniel received is that the message was not for Daniel. It was not for those people there, but it was for us. He said, seal up that book, shut it up until the time of the end. Amen. So you understand why Gabriel could have broken through. Because Gabriel was bringing a message for a people who were to be perfect, who were to be holy, who were not to be serving the prince of Persia. And so, praise God, here is prayer unanswered. Prayer is only unanswered because we are not hearing. God told me one thing one time. He said, I'm always talking. It is you who is not always hearing. God's always bringing in the word, but it is you who is not always hearing. God bless you in Jesus' name. Have faith. Believe in God, and everything in the realm of God will be your servant, will obey you. If you speak in the voice of God, the very elements obey you. Amen. God bless you. No questions tonight. Praise the Lord.
I may sound a little dense, but when you said about faith being a substance, do you mean it's like a form of energy?
It is the master energy that makes all other substances. I've seen faith make limbs. Faith, I mean, I'm going to say something very peculiar here. I have seen faith make a universal joint in a car that was speeding at 70 miles an hour. The joint had broken out. The car, the drive shaft had dropped down. And one little piece held it, and it was boom, 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 knocking. And this man believed God. He put his foot on the gas and said, in the name of Jesus, he must reach home. And he heard it smooth off. When he reached home and examined it, he had a new brand universal joint. My God, help me. He's somebody you know, so you better find out from him. Yeah, that happened to Brother Donaldson. He must have come here sometime. Praise God. So, faith has no bounds. It has no place to stop. Amen. Anything you can believe hard enough, you can receive. Because the material world is in complete subjection to the spiritual world. Yes, ma'am.
Now, this, I understand what you're saying. Just like when you prayed for that boy, you didn't have the faith.
But no.
I mean, he spoke to you.
I didn't have the faith, but once God tell me to do it, I know it's all right.
Yeah.
So I relax me, and I just, okay,
right,
pray God. But the mother really had that faith. She was sure that I was going to do it. You see, she had seen miracles before. She had seen a girl just a few weeks before who had an abdominal problem. And the doctor said it is impossible to be healed. Said this disease has never been healed. An whole length of her abdomen was stricken and just dead. And nothing could pass through. And they tried and tried and tried until the child was in such torment and pain. They got doctors from New York all over the world to try to save the child. Couldn't save. And so they gave her up to die. And they were all weeping. And I said, but I don't understand. These people told me about Jesus. I accepted Jesus. And now they are weeping because a child has an incurable disease. I said, okay, I will stop eating until God heal the child. So I didn't eat the first day, I didn't eat the second day. The third day, at midday, the Lord said, the child is healed. So I rushed up for lunch at their home, and I told them, the child is healed, so I'm going to have lunch, and I'm happy. Now, I received the faith from God. God told me the child is healed, so I didn't even want to see anything. So I lay hands on the child, pray, and went back to my office. At 3 o'clock, telephone rang and the child was perfectly normal. The doctors had no explanation for it. The same thing happened with a woman with a big cancer in her breast. Come to the church and pray for her. And the thing clicked right before us. It didn't move, it just disappeared. It was there and then it wasn't there. Because our hands were on top of it and so it disappeared. So we have learned that the thing is absolutely God, but you've got to believe it. And if you want to believe and don't believe, fast and pray and you believe what you can't believe now. Belief, fasting is a faith builder. And it is difficult for the carnal, physical, natural man to believe that which he cannot see, hear, or he seems to be in another world. And the only way you can believe is to remove yourself from the natural realm for a while. And when you fast and pray, you believe and you know that you know that you know. It is more real than that chair sitting down before you.
That's like Moses.
Yes.
God spoke to you.
Quite. Yeah. If God...
Quite.
That's right. You know what I mean? If God comes and whispers in your ears and makes such a manifestation to you, whatever he tells you, though they won't believe, you've got to believe it because you heard it. You see what I mean? So this is faith, and it can be built by fasting and prayer. And there's no sin in fasting and praying for faith. God, I don't believe you half enough. I want to believe you, oh God. So you cut down the flesh by fasting, and you build up the spirit by praying. So the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And if two men are fighting and you help one, you're going to overcome the other. Simple. A, B, C. Any more questions? Yes.
Is there a time element in some things, or is this just the trick of the devil to cause us to
lose or put off until some other time what God wants to give us today.
That God never has a tomorrow. Listen, let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to say something very strange, and I mean, if you can't understand it, don't judge me too harshly, because if you think I'm mad, I'm probably out of my mind, in the spirit mind. So, time is not real. Time is one of the hallucinations which we human beings have amongst us. Time is only relative. Because you see an hour to be an hour, and I am having the same seeing and feeling and knowing as you, we all take an hour for an hour. And so we say yesterday was a different day from today, and so on. So actually there is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow, and there is only today. Okay. If yesterday, if the actions that you do today was caused by what you did yesterday, then it is yesterday that is controlling today, right? And if today is going to control tomorrow, then tomorrow is today. In other words, the day is only caused by the sun going around and round and round. You, if you get out of this realm, you don't see the sun going around you, and so in the spirit, you don't have any yesterday and tomorrow. Everything that happened to you in your life yesterday, the day before, from you were born, it was a good that brings you to this point where you can understand God and move into Him. You see? So actually, we live in a present, everlasting realm that we will only move from one part of consciousness to a higher consciousness. And then when we move to the higher consciousness, we look down on this consciousness and we see the future right now. And we see the past as one stream, a river. You know, I am on a boat going down a river and I go around a curve. I don't know what's around the next curve. It's exciting to see what's around the next curve. But a man gets up in a plane and he looks down and he sees the river from the beginning to the end. That's like seeing time from the eyes of God. Time is only a thing relative among men. So when God gives you a promise, sister, the promise is now. If you can lay a hold of it, if you have the acumen, the ability, the fortitude, because some promises are too strong for weak people. That's why you have to wait. Waiting is only a matter of your own condition. The whole creation is waiting on us. Amen. Yes, the whole creation is waiting on us. And God told me that He has laid the whole thing wide open. The gates are open now. For whosoever will enter into the holiest of all. He has left it open. Amen. It's not a matter that somebody can come and say, brother, I am in the holiest of all. You don't talk that. That thing is a thing that is seen and felt. And if I am in the holiest of all and I walk here, the spiritual energy quickens every man and woman here. And you just glorify God in my presence. Praise be to God. That's what I'm talking about. We do go in and out and find pasture, but blessed be to God, I look forward to the time when we'll be able to stay in there. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible said the priest couldn't minister because the power was so great. He couldn't minister, the thing caught knocking him all over the place. Amen. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Any more words? Any more? Praise His holy name. I just feel good in your midst. And I'll be seeing you sometimes. Praise God.
This is the end of message. M. 103. Faith.